You've got your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians. We're going to stand and we're going to read together. But we're going to start in chapter 12, verse 31. I'll read that. And then we'll go alternate verses through chapter 13. And we're also going to read chapter 14, verse 1. Alright, so 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. And if you stand with me as we read. Chapter 12, verse 31 says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up,
doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil,
rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth,
beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things.
Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away.
For we know in part, and we prophesy in part.
But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away.
When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things.
For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known.
And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity.
And also join me in reading chapter 14, verse 1.
Follow after charity, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this beautiful spot that we can enjoy your creation, but that we can also enjoy one another's company. But most importantly, Lord, now we want to enjoy your company. Lord, we pray for your presence to be with us. We pray that you would speak to us through your word. Once again, Lord, I ask that you'd use me as your vessel. Lord, as we saw last night, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And that is our prayer, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. For those that were here last night, more than just giving away $10, we introduced ourselves to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, and particularly looked at the word charity that we read over and over again through this passage. And we saw that the word charity is the Greek word agape. And the word agape simply means?
No.
All right, Lisa got something across, but that was the most important thing to get across. We saw also how important it was for us to allow God to speak to us through his word and not us try to read into it what we want to find in it. Not to put into it what suits us, but allow God to actually speak to us. And certainly that continues to be our prayer as we go through these messages over this weekend. We mentioned that there are some misconceptions about this passage. Some say that charity is an old English word. And many of you may have heard that over and over again, not just about charity, but about the King James Bible, that people say, that's old English. It's rubbish. Old English was spoken by the Anglo-Saxons up to the year about 1150. So it's not old English. That just shows the ignorance of the person saying it. After Old English, there came Middle English. Just giving you a little bit of an English study here. And that was spoken between 1150 and about 1470. To Did you realize that this Bible is written in modern English? Modern English? Modern English began to be used from about 1550 right up to the present day. So these people who say to you, hey, the King James Bible, that's old English, that's rubbish. It's not even Middle English, it's actually modern English. And so this to say, hey, that word charity is old English, is a misconception. In fact, if you were to take your dictionary today, today's dictionary, and look up the word charity, you know what the first definition of charity is in your English dictionary? It comes from the Latin word caritas, and the first definition is Christian love. Charity, as it's used here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, charity as it's used through the New Testament, is modern English, and even in today's dictionary, means Christian love. Beware of people that try and run down this book and say it's old English and it's out of date. This is modern English, folks, and it's God's word for us today. We talked about the Greek word last night. I want to talk about the English word. And I assure you, Sunday and Monday, we're going to actually get into 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to go through word by word, and we're going to see what God has to say to us. But it's a very long introduction. We're going to look at the English word charity this morning. Question you might ask yourself is, well, what is charity if it's modern English? Well, we just read 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31, and it tells us the first thing about charity. It's a more excellent way. It's a more excellent way. Doesn't that whet your appetite to understand what charity is? Paul said it's a more excellent way. There in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 13, notice what it says. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. There's another clue to what is charity. Charity is greater than faith and hope. Doesn't that make you want to understand even more, well, what is this charity? If you go over to the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14, there we find in Colossians 3 verse 14, it says, and above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Wow. What is charity? We're told that it's the bond of perfectness. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. Says there, now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. What is charity? It's the end of the commandment. It's the most important part of the commandment. Keep working your way to the right to 2 Peter chapter 1. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, we're given seven things that we should build on our faith as Christians. Seven, of course, is the number of perfection. And it's interesting, as we read 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 5 and 7, as it lists these seven things, the seventh one is charity. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, that's number 1, and to virtue knowledge, that's number 2, and to knowledge temperance, that's number 3, and to temperance patience, that's number 4, and to patience, godliness, 5, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. That's an interesting word. Anybody know what the Greek word there is? Think of a city in the United States.
Philadelphia.
Good try. There's no $10 today. All right. Philadelphia. Brotherly kindness. That's Philadelphia. That's the Greek word. Brotherly love. That's number 6. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Charity. It's number 7, the number of perfection of what you need to build on your faith. Charity, obviously, is something very important, isn't it? When you read those verses and consider them, if it's a more excellent way, if it's even greater than faith and hope, if it's the bond of perfectness, if it's the end of the commandment, if it's the final building block that you build on top of your faith, it's obviously something very important. A good way to understand what charity is to actually think about what charity is not. And the answer to that is very simply, charity is not charity. You go, hang on, what were you talking about? Go back to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 3. It says there, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. See, today when we think about the word charity, we think about giving all our goods to feed the poor. Don't we? We think about them come around to our door collecting, and we put money in. We think that is being charity. But that's not what charity is. That's an outflowing of charity. But charity is not giving all your goods to feed the poor, not sacrificing your life to help other people. Charity comes from that Greek word agape, and it means love. So charity is not bestowing all my goods, it's not feeding the poor, it's not giving myself to a cause. See, love is an interesting word, and it has a lot of different meanings. See, for example, if I said to you, I love fresh fruit ice cream. Who's with me on that one? All right. Did you notice that from when that was first introduced, they've changed the name? It's now real fruit ice cream? Because it's frozen, it can't be fresh, and they realised they were marketing it wrong. All right. I'll just throw that in, that's free, okay? But if I say to you, I love fresh fruit ice cream, do you think I mean the same thing when I say, I love reading history books? Am I meaning the same thing by that word love? No, it's different. And is it the same when I say, I love listening to instrumental music? Is that the same thing as loving fresh fruit ice cream? Let's take it a little bit further. If I was to say, I love my children, is that love the same as the love that I have for a fresh fruit ice cream? For some people, it might be strong. Yeah, someone said to me the other day, I love my grandchildren, but I don't like them. And I didn't say that. But when I say I love my children, it doesn't mean the same thing as I love instrumental music. And if I say I love my wife, it certainly doesn't mean the same thing as when I say I love my children. It's a different type of love, isn't it? Are you with me? Do you understand this? So when we use the word love, it can mean a lot of different things based on what? Based on the subject I'm talking about, based upon the context of what I'm talking about. It makes all the difference, doesn't it? And then when if I go a step further and I say, I love God, is that the same as the love that I have for my wife? And certainly is it the same as the love that I have for fresh fruit ice cream? It's not, is it? It's very different. Depending upon the subject I'm talking about, depending upon the context of what I'm talking about. And then when we come to the Bible, and remember we mentioned yesterday that 85 times the word love has been translated from the word agape, and 29 times has been translated as charity. See, when I come to the New Testament of the Bible, it says, I'm to love, agape, I'm to love my neighbour. It also says that I'm to love my enemies. Is the love that I have for my enemies the same as the love that I have for my neighbour? Does the subject and the context of what we're talking about come into it a little bit? What else does the Bible say? The Bible says I'm to love the lost. It says that I'm to love my brothers and sisters in Christ. Is the love that I have for Caesar the same as the love that I have for a lost person? The Bible says that I'm to love my parents. Is the love that I have for my parents the same as the love that I have for a lost person? As a parent, the Bible says I'm to love my children. Is the love that I have for my children the same as the love that I have for my parents? I have to say to you, no, it's a very different type of love. It's still love, but it's very different. The Bible says I'm to love my wife. Certainly my love for my wife is nothing like the love I have for my children or the love that I have for my parents or the love that I have for my neighbour. You see that the subject and context
makes it very different.
The Bible also goes on to say that I am to love God. I'm to love God. And the love that I have for God is very different from the love that I have for a lost person. And let's go one step further when we're talking about this word agape love. The Bible says that God loves me, agape. And I can say this with all surety, the love that God has for me is very, 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 very different from the love that I have for Him. But it's still that same word agape, it's still that word love. You following me? That the context is very important. The subject that we're talking about, it's love, but it's very, very different. Let's come back to this word charity. Charity, this English word, as we said, comes from that Latin word caritas. It means Christian love. Christian love. 29 times you'll find the word charity in the New Testament, and every one of those 29 times when agape is translated charity in the English language, you know what it's talking about? It's talking about my love as a Christian for my brothers and sisters in Christ. The subject's very important, and the type of love that's shown is very different. And it's, to me, it's quite exciting. I hope it is there. But God directed the translators in such a way that every time they translated the word agape, when it related to the love that we as Christians have towards other Christians, they used the word charity. Isn't that interesting? The word charity. Caritas. Christian love. This is a very specific type of love that we as Christians should have to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Very specific. Now I'll say to you, there's one very little exception. When Paul wrote and talked about the personal relationships that he had with other Christians in his letters, that word agape was translated as love. That's an exception. When Paul was talking about the very personal relationships he had with people that he knew personally. But every other time the scripture talks about the love that I as a Christian or you as a Christian have to other Christians, it was translated as the word charity. It's not a mistake. They didn't by mistake put charity instead of love. It's not an old English word, it's modern English. You can go to your modern dictionary and you find the very first definition there is Christian love from the word caritas in Latin. And God chose this word charity very specifically for us to understand what sort of love we as Christians should have to our fellow Christians, especially in our local church. And when you think about that, that's very powerful. See, when God used the word charity here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he wasn't thinking about the love between him and us. When he used the word charity here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he wasn't thinking about the love between a husband and a wife. When he used the word charity here, he wasn't thinking about the love between parents and children. He certainly wasn't thinking about the love between a believer and an unbeliever. The word charity refers to the love that Christians should have for other Christians. Let's look at a couple of verses to illustrate this. Go back a page or two to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and notice with me verse 1. It says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. We can strut around in the church and amongst other Christians and be all puffed up with all the Bible knowledge that we have. But 1 Corinthians 13 says, that achieves nothing. But charity, the Christian love that I as a believer show to another believer,
edify, that builds up. And I want you to notice verse 3.
But if any man love God, the same is known of him. That word love there is what word in the Greek? Agape. You guys are doing really good. It's agape. The word charity there in verse 1 is which Greek word? Agape. But see, verse 1 is talking about the love that I as a Christian show to another Christian. And so the word charity is used there. In verse 3, it's talking about the love between man and God. And so the word love is used there. Just an illustration there for you. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I hope you know when you come to camp you bring your Bible. And when you come to chapel, you bring your Bibles from your room, because we're going to be spending time in God's Word. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3, notice with me. It says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and notice this, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. See, that's what charity is. He's saying, brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, the charity that you show toward each other. That's what charity is. And when we read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I want you to understand that word charity there is very important, because the subject that it's talking about is, it's not talking about your marriage, it's not talking about your relationship with your parents, it's not talking about your relationship to your neighbour, it's talking about your relationship to your brothers and sisters in Christ. And tonight we're going to talk about the context of the whole book of 1 Corinthians, and you're going to see that really, really clearly. And that's why I said last night, it's a shame when people think that 1 Corinthians 13 is a love chapter that we read at marriages, or it's a love chapter that we use in marriage counselling, because this is actually counselling for Christians. Counselling for Christians as they relate to each other in the church, counselling for Christians as they relate to their brothers and sisters in Christ. And we can miss the whole meaning of the passage if we think it's talking about something else. Let's carry on to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. 1 Peter 4 verse 8, it says, and above all things. Do you remember 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 31? I show you a more excellent way. Do you remember 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13? But the greatest of these is charity. Do you remember 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1? Follow after charity. Do you notice what it says there in 1 Peter 4, 8? And above all things, have fervent charity, where? Among yourselves. We'll deal with the second part of the verse later on, okay? But have fervent charity among... So that's what charity is. Charity is the love that we have between each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Just go over page to chapter 5 and verse 14. And I love this one. Some of you might be still struggling with this one. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. The Bible also says greet one another with a holy kiss. I remember my first pastor came from the United States. Nothing against people from the United States. Can't get me wrong there. But he came from the United States and he said this was a cultural thing. In those days, they would greet one another with a kiss. But we today in our culture, and I don't think he was talking about New Zealand culture because I don't think he understood New Zealand culture. We in our culture today, we shake hands. So I grew up in a church where you shook hands with each other. Do you remember what we talked about last night? Is that really what those verses are saying? That, you know, back there in the first century, yeah, it was cultural, they'd kiss each other. But today in our culture, we shake hands. How does that ring with you? And you're looking at me like I'm stupid. What does it say? Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. What's charity? Charity is the love that I show to my brothers and sisters in Christ. And Paul wasn't just talking to first century Christians because that was their culture. He's not saying, hey, you guys that live in New Zealand in the 21st century, shake hands with one another to show your love for each other. He says, greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. In our church, hey, I'll be honest, because of the way I was brought up, Dutch pastor who said, shake hands, that's the culture. I struggled with that, but the Lord taught me a lot. He taught me a lot about loving other people. 10 years ago, I'd never say, Caesar, I love you. I can say it now, no problem, and I mean it. But you know, we get so caught up in things that we think are the right way to do it, or what people have told us or taught us. Wasn't that what we were talking about last night? That are we actually following what God's telling us to do? And I'm going to say to you, right, we're going to stand up in a minute, we're all going to greet one another with a holy kiss. I'm not going to come on to you like that. But you know, when we started our church, it was a place where when people came, so Heather and I, we wanted them to know that they were loved. And there's some people come in, and this is not a swear against South Africans either, and we've got a South African couple come in and we're still working on it, alright? So, you know, many of the men that come in, I give them a hug and I say, I love you. Daryl, good to see you. It's a work in progress. And I'm looking forward to the day when we do hug and say, I love you. But he's working through things and it's okay, it's not a problem. And that's what I'm saying to you too. You might just need to work through this issue. Think about it. If the Bible says to greet one another with a holy kiss and to show your charity, to show your love to your brothers and sisters in Christ, to kiss them, we need to work through that thing. Yeah, how does that work? How does that work when I meet a fellow Christian? How does that work when I arrive at church? How does that work when someone walks into the church? How am I going to demonstrate my charity to my brothers and sisters in Christ? Now we need to be careful we don't offend people's culture. We don't offend people where they're at. We need to be careful that, you know, between men and women that we keep it. What's the word?
1 Corinthians 13 uses the word seemly, so maybe we'll use the word seemly. But if 1 Corinthians 13 is all about us demonstrating our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, how are we going to demonstrate that? Alright? Don't go and start kissing everybody this afternoon. Right? Not saying that. But I want you to think about that. See, when you read 1 Peter 5 verse 14, what was the symbol of Christian love? What was the symbol of charity? It was a kiss. And let me make this real clear and plain. In our church, we kiss on the cheek, okay? Get that straight. Alright? But isn't that something to think about? Charity is the word that the Holy Spirit preserved for us in the English Bible to talk about the love that we as Christians show to one another. How do we demonstrate and how do we show that Christian love to our brothers and sisters in Christ? That's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'll say this to you. We can certainly take some applications out of that for in our marriages. We can take some applications out of that into our parent-child relationships. We can take some applications out of that, certainly, in our love for unbelievers. But very specifically, the word charity is used because it's talking about the relationship between us as Christians and our fellow Christians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is not a definition of charity. What it is it gives us a display or a description of what charity is. How do I understand God's love? I don't understand God's love by going to the dictionary and finding out what love means. You know how I understand God's love? Romans chapter 5 verse 8. But God commendeth. Don't read commandeth. It's commendeth. But God commendeth his love toward us. That word commend, you know what it means? It means to manifest or
to display. So God displayed or demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How do I understand God's love for me? Not from the definition in the dictionary or even in the Bible dictionary. I understand God's love for me by the way he demonstrates it or displays it. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. Demonstration of it. And so don't be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 for a definition of love. But what we're going to see in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is we're going to see Christian love demonstrated and displayed and how we can demonstrate and display it. A couple of thoughts and a couple of lessons that we'll close with. Tonight I want us to look at the context. For us to be able to understand what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is really saying, is we need to understand the context in which it's written. That includes chapter 12 and 14. That also includes the whole of 1 Corinthians. And when you look at the context, as we will tonight, it will open it up to you what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is talking about. And I'm getting so excited, I want to start on it now, but you're going to have to wait for tonight. Because it really brings it home. When you understand what chapter 12 and 14 is talking about, and that chapter 13 isn't just added in there as an extra bonus, but it actually is totally related to chapter 12 and 14. When you understand from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 right through the chapter what sort of church the church at Corinth was, then it totally makes sense what it's saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that it is talking about relationships of Christians to their brothers and sisters in Christ. And the very phrases that you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 totally relate to exactly what was going on in the church of Corinth, or what was not going on in the church of Corinth and should have been going on. And so as we start to look at that, you're going to understand how important this passage is for you and I as we relate to each other, as we go back to our local churches and relate to our brothers and sisters in Christ in our local churches. Just want to leave you with a couple of closing thoughts. Firstly, from what we've seen this morning, our Bible is true and we can trust it. Our Bible is true and we can trust it. When God put the word charity there, it wasn't a mistake. It wasn't meant to be love. It was very deliberate. Turn to Psalm 12. Just quickly, Psalm 12. Notice verse 6 and 7. Psalm 12, verse 6 and 7, it says, the words of the Lord are pure words. I emphasise the S there because it doesn't just say the word of the Lord is a pure word, it says the words. I want you to understand that when it comes to the Bible, every single word is important. Amen. The words of the Lord are pure words. And that's why when you come to a word charity, don't just dismiss the word charity and say, hey, that's old English, it's outdated. Because you now know it's actually modern English, right? Don't just dismiss it and say the translators made a mistake, they should have put the word love there. No, that's not true either. God deliberately chose that word so that we would understand that the love that we as Christians have to our fellow Christians is super, super important. Alright? You with me? The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. See, when the Holy Spirit inspired men of old, what they wrote down, whether it was in Hebrew or Aramaic or Greek, that was the very word of God. The very words of God. Do you know what God went on to promise? He promised that he would preserve those words, not words, he promised to preserve those words from that generation when the psalmist wrote, 3,000 years ago, from that generation forever. His promise was that he would preserve his words forever. And as we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in the New Testament, we come to the word charity, that is God's preserved words for us. And there's something really important we can learn from it. I want you to know that our Bible is true, and we can rely upon it. God promised that he would preserve his words
forever. And I'm so glad for that. A second thing I want to say to you is that we actually need the author's help to understand it. We need the author's help to understand it. God wrote it, and the first person to explain it to us is God himself. Not be looking for what other people have to say and what their opinions are. The most important person that can explain what God's word means to us is the author himself. That's an important point to keep in mind. As we saw last night, it does take some effort. It does take some effort. We talked about the word searching, studying, proving, trying, and judging. But what I do want to say to you this morning, if we go deeper, we're going to find deeper and richer truth. And I hope that when you leave this camp, you'll leave this camp and say, I never knew what 1 Corinthians 13 was really teaching me and about my relationship with other believers. If we go deeper, we're going to find deeper and richer truth. You know, the gold miners that came to New Zealand, you know what they discovered? The nuggets weren't on the surface. They had to dig for them. They had to dig for them. You know what else they discovered? It was worthwhile digging. Think about that. If you just treat the Word of God and just give it a light, brief overview, you might find the odd nugget, the odd little snippet. But you go deeper, it's worth it. It's worth it. Christian love for other Christians is what's highlighted in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and all these other passages where it uses the word charity. And I want you to know there's a good reason for it. We're going to finish with John chapter 13, if you turn with me there. Why is it so important that my love as a Christian for other Christians is highlighted by using this word charity? Why is it so important? Go to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, notice with us verse 34 and 35. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. This is not talking about loving your neighbour. This is not addressed to husbands and wives. It's certainly not addressed to parents and children. It's addressed to believers. It says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Now notice verse 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. How will all men know that you are his disciple? How will all men know that I am his disciple? By the way I dress. If they saw I had jandals on with long pants, it might freak them out a little. But do people know that we're his disciples by the way we dress? The Bible doesn't say that. Will they know it by the way we cut our hair? In some cases, don't cut our hair. Will they know that we're his disciples by us being able to say, this is how many times I've read through the Bible in my lifetime? Is that how people are going to know you're his disciples? Are they going to know that you're his disciples by that Bible college degree that you have on your wall? Or that certificate of that course you passed in church last year? And I could go through a whole list of other things. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says, how are people going to know? How are all men going to know that we're his disciples? If you have love one to another. That's charity. That's charity that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That is the love that I as a Christian show to my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the love that you as a Christian show to your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And you know what Jesus said? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. That's why Paul said, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. Follow after charity, because charity is even greater than faith and hope. And as we continue tonight and we look at the context,
and recognise what sort of church Corinth was, and not dissimilar to any of our churches, right? Let's not put our noses in the air and think we're better than them. It's letting a man that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You do remember that verse. But as we look at context, there we see the importance and the power of charity, Christian love. For me as a Christian, how I demonstrate and display my love for my brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Shows you how important the subject of charity is, doesn't it? Ask the Lord to open your eyes that you might behold wondrous things out of thy door. We'll pray and we'll ask Pastor Shane to come and close us off then. Heavenly Father,